Hi, Karen.
Now, we're talking about the 80s. I remember quite well what the financial climate in New Zealand was then.
I don't at all. I wasn't born. But I was a child of the early 90s, so I guess I lived with its legacy to a certain extent. Do you remember what you were up to in 1987?
I do, but I'm not going to tell you.
It's not for on air. So it was all go. The financial climate in the 80s, from the looks of it, was very temperamental. There was a huge amount of money that came in very quickly, and also a lot of political instability about what the economic system was, particularly after 1984 when Rogernomics starts kicking in.
For the odd one or two who don't know what Rogernomics was, can you give us a brief history lesson?
Ooh, I'll give it a go. So I think Roger Douglas gets a little bit too much credit in the naming of this because there were a lot of people involved. But Rogernomics is the term that's come to refer to the series of reforms that the Labor government brought in from 1984 onwards. There are some purists who like to distinguish between the first term of that Labor government and the second one in terms of what they did with financial control. But basically, it was fiscal deregulation.
So the financial climate in New Zealand in 1987, I actually wasn't in New Zealand in 1987, I was in London, but what was it like?
Heady. There was a huge amount of money coming in and everyone started getting into stocks. It's what we referred to as a bull market. So there was just a massive amount of capital available and people really took advantage of that. So there were a lot of brokers at the time, the people that you needed to handle financial transactions and investments for you. And because there was so much more business, so many more people wanting to buy shares, broking houses had to rapidly employ more people and grow very quickly. But unfortunately, a lot of the people that they hired weren't as experienced as they could have been because of the really aggressive growth. And that led to just a lot of small errors. These things called scrip errors, which a scrip was a type of transaction which was a value that wasn't money. So it was kind of like an IOU. Anyone who knows anything about finance will be yelling at their radio at me for saying that, but that's essentially what it was. And it meant that there was this paper jam, this real issue with knowing where the money was, which shares were being bought on credit, which were owned by whom, and it just became very confusing.
It might have become deliberately confusing, one would have to say. You know, as
definitely.
Insider trading going on.
Yeah, well, of course, insider trading wasn't illegal at the time.
Was it not?
So you could actually just do insider trading. It wasn't a problem. Like, that was fine. So all the navel-gazing that happens after 1987, I mean, that feels like a fairly obvious one in hindsight, but maybe it wasn't at the time.
We're in this environment where there's a lot of, what did you call them, scrip errors and missed transactions.
Insider trading.
Yes.
So much more money than there'd been before.
It's a bull market.
Yeah, it's incredible. By July 1987, more than 40% of New Zealand adults are owning shares, and trading levels were four times higher than there'd been in 1986. Like, it's just such a quick period of growth.
And a lot of New Zealanders were, well, no, not a lot, but a few New Zealanders were getting rich.
Yeah, some people were getting very, very rich, which led to the NBR, the National Business Review, publishing for the first time in 1986 its rich list, which we still live with in our media environment today. The 1986 marker for the inaugural rich list seems quite amusing in retrospect, but I'm sure it wasn't at the time.
So we're looking at 1987. And the dates around September and October. We've got this environment that you've just outlined. So what happened? And I've got a date here, the 18th of September. Why was that date important?
So on the 18th of September, the share prices in New Zealand reached an all-time high. So if Black Tuesday, if the 20th of October is the fall, this is very much the peak that precedes it. So the exchange had 309 listed companies, which was way up on what it had had before. And the New Zealand market had risen 600% since 1982. And there's one rule in economics, and that's what goes up must go down. And that was a huge bit of up.
And then 1 month later?
A crash, an incredible loss of value. Billions of dollars were wiped off the value of New Zealand shares. And that's in 1980s money. You know, it was just absolutely devastating. So there was a sharp drop in New York on the Wall Street Stock Exchange, and that just went everywhere else. So pretty much by the end of October, the boom in New Zealand was over. A lot of companies who had overextended themselves disappeared. And the mum and, well, I hate the phrase, Karen, I hate it. But mum and dad investors, small investors, basically left the share market because it was too dodgy, it was too unpredictable. And that meant that the share market itself had a lot less people looking at it, and that meant that it dropped in value.
So on the 20th of October 1987, which was known as Black Tuesday, do you know what the values dropped by? Was it in the millions or billions or what?
Yeah, well, it dropped by 5.7 billion as everyone just disappeared from the market. Absolutely devastating.
And around the world, this followed a similar pattern around the world, but did we have it particularly bad?
We did. And we had it particularly bad because of what we were talking about before. The deregulation and the high interest rates just meant that it was a recipe for disaster. So that crash was, I mean, it was bad all around the world, but it was particularly harsh here, particularly because the markets in New Zealand, even before this bull market in the 80s, we'd had a lot of prosperity in our financial market right through from the 1950s. So having this huge drop was pretty unexpected, and it took a lot of people by surprise.
And what happened to the brokers then? Did they just go bust too?
Yeah, they went into other careers. A lot of
real
broking
estate
firms. Well, I don't know, Karen, and I would hesitate to speculate. But yeah, the people had to leave the industry. A lot of the small broking firms disappeared, particularly the what were called no frills broking companies, which were kind of trying to rort the game by coming in much lower with their fees than the more established firms. So by the 90s, over half of the New Zealand broking firms are now dealing with overseas companies, and it's kind of centralised to a much bigger extent.
Perhaps I should have said politics. What came out of the crash, Robert?
Well, all sorts of things. As we talked about before, insider trading became illegal eventually. And we had all of these things, like the Securities Commission started to really clamp down on the way companies were able to operate. A lot of the reasons why the market ended up where it was were clamped down upon. And it just started to become a lot more regulated. And then by the early 90s, everything just changes again.
Well, you talked about a paper system. When did they hook up to what we now see as, you know, in a trading environment, it's all computerized? When did they do that?
That happens like fairly early. So the paper system stops on the Friday, 21st of June, 1991. And it's a big deal at the time. People make a huge deal out of it. But the system moved onto phones and then eventually onto computers. And that is where we are today. The idea of the scrolling numbers comes through. So by the mid-90s, that's very much established.
So the 21st of June 1991, that's when screen trading took over. Did they mark that in any way?
Yeah, hugely. So in Wellington, the clock was stopped permanently at 3:11 p.m. and a bugler played the last post while members of the stock exchange stood around and drank champagne.
Were always doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a kind of continuation of the party, really. Yeah. And in Auckland, people sang "For They Are Jolly Good Fellows" for the six men who used to run the chalkboards who were permanently out of a job. We talk about autonomization of jobs, Karen. This is early days of that.
Oh, I wonder what happened to those six people. The chalkies.
There's a book in it, Karen. There's a book in it.
For you, perhaps. Maybe someone listening tonight knows somebody who worked in the stock exchange.
Well, they were big enterprises. So I would love to hear people's anecdotes about their times in the stock exchange.
At that time. Very good, Robert. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Karen. Go well.